another episode of Vertical Families.
We are. And glad to be here.
Still excited to be here recording?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Still excited to be sitting in this room with you?
Yes.
Excited about this topic?
What topic was that?
Yeah. Funny. Learning to listen well.
Oh, you wanted me to hear that?
I did. This is a rough one.
This is a tough one, especially in the culture we're living in.
I'll throw it out there from the beginning. I'm really bad at this.
What makes you think you're bad?
Yeah. So you're pretending not to be able to listen. I really struggle with it. Like, I can sit there and look like I'm listening to people, but I don't hear what they're saying.
But I think we can all do that.
Yeah.
We're either, like, glazed over, but they can't really tell. They think we're listening, but our mind is somewhere else. Or we're thinking about how we're going to respond to what they're saying. Like,
that's true.
We're not really hearing what they're saying because we're thinking about our part in the conversation.
Yeah. Or we're listening, but we're not really listening because we know we're not going to apply that.
Right. Yeah. There's a ton of reasons we're not good listeners.
There are. And, I mean, sometimes guys can just be naturally gifted at being able to tune out certain people.
I'm trying to decide if that's just a guy thing. And wait a minute. Who are you trying to tune out?
Well, I don't know if I should say, but there are some people I can just tune out pretty easy. Right.
That explains a lot.
It does, doesn't it? And the other thing is that, you know, sometimes people tell you things and you're listening, but you're not, you know, like, I'm never going to do that. So I'm not
You've already
listening.
Turned them off before?
Yeah.
Because of lack of interest or, okay.
Yeah. I had one of these stories yesterday that happened to me. I don't know, if you notice, you see how my nose is?
Yeah.
Like,
what happened
looks
there?
Like it's cut and bleeding. Well, so what happened was yesterday I thought I would install a dishwasher while Karen was gone. And so.
You know you're not supposed to be doing these jobs when there's no one around, right?
That's what she's told me. And so I've heard her say that. So, long story, but I had to get in our crawl space because of where the dishwasher was at. I was home alone, and I thought I turned the water off, and I turned the cold water off. Well, dishwashers get hot water. And so I was down there, and I had to redo the pipes, and so I was going to cut this pipe with my Sawzall. Now, I know this is sounding like a bad story.
I had to crawl to the other side,
underneath the crawl space of the house. So I take my Sawzall, and I just lay into this old copper pipe, and I get about halfway through it. And hot water just starts coming everywhere out of it. And it's just coming right back in my face. I brought a towel down with me. He's on the other side. So I run over to get a towel, try to wrap around. I had to hurry up and crawl out of there, get the water shut off. It was a disaster. So then I thought, Karen's been on me about not doing stuff. Because we just bought a house. I've been doing some work on it when I have a day off here or there. And I thought, man, this is bad. Because she's been telling me not to do this. And I've not been listening. And then I go in the restroom, I look at my face, and it's just like
so you can't not tell her.
Red. And she sent me a text that, hey, work's letting me go early today, so I'm going to be home early. And I thought, man, do I just let her get home and she's going to ask why my face is all scalded up? Or so I sent her a text, and I started with this. I said three things. I said, one, I'm fine. Nothing is wrong. And then I said, two, just know that my face is a little red, but see back to number one. I'm fine. Three, I got you a new dishwasher. And then I added one. I thought, oh, man, she's going to think it's installed. So then I put, I need to add one more. Number four, the house is a mess. I had some mishaps. And I know your parents are getting ready to get here, but I'll get it cleaned up. So
you didn't listen to the request not to do things.
I didn't.
When you're by yourself. And then you had no choice but to fess up.
I did. So I think there's that part of listening. Some of it we just don't. Like you said, we're just ready to respond to something. Why do you think we're not good listeners?
I think there's a lot of things that play into why we're not good listeners. Mm-hmm. One, I think you've already alluded to, if we don't think it's important to us, it's not worth giving our time and attention to.
Yeah.
I think we've become a culture that wears busyness as a badge of honor. And sometimes we're just too busy to slow down and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, here I go with the technology thing again. It's not that I hate technology. There are so many, many, many good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like last Friday, we were in New York visiting our other daughter and their family. And the granddaughter at home was in the school spelling bee.
Mm-hmm.
And so from New York, all the cousins that were in the house, grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, we could all be part of the spelling bee because of this wonderful technology.
Yeah.
Like they put it out there and sent us a link so we could watch it. But I think a lot of times we let technology, the fact that we can just be on the screen, we've lost a lot of our ability to have a good conversation and the things go with that.
Yeah.
Like how to ask a good question, how to be a good listener.
Or even like when you're trying to talk to someone and they're texting.
Yes. Like they may not mean it. They may not even think about it because honestly today that's an appendage. Like they don't realize it. It's just they're constantly connected to communication.
Yeah.
But when you're the one trying to talk to somebody with that screen in their hand, to me anyway, it shouts, what you're saying is really not that important. I don't care.
I'm such a hypocrite on this though, because when I'm talking to someone, if they're texting, I just want to grab the phone out of their hand and...
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to grab a phone and throw it.
Throw it. Like, you're not really listening to me. I'm just going to stop talking to you. But you don't want to be rude, so you keep talking. I can't stand it. But I'm guilty of it too, right? So take a conversation I have an hour after being frustrated at that person. Someone's talking to me, and I'm sitting there on my phone trying to text someone else at the same time, trying to multitask.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's a convenient thing. It's a great tool for keeping us connected. But I think it has robbed us of a lot of the great communication skills that come when you're face-to-face and you're using your voice. And I think also we're so visually saturated.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just visual image. And so we're not honing those listening skills.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when I text people now, I try to use exclusively memes. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
You have forgotten, but at one point you said I was pretty adept at using them.
Yes. Yeah. But the digital age. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
All right, so why is it important to listen well?
Well, one, it's important that we listen well so that information can be communicated.
Mm-hmm.
Like it might have been really good for you to have listened well about not trying to do big projects when no one's there with you.
Mm-hmm.
It could have saved you hot water in the face. And
I know. Well, I tell people all the time that my face is my moneymaker.
There you go. See, you almost messed it
now
up.
Now it's all messed up for tomorrow. So I don't know. Tithes will probably be down at church. So it's nuts.
But even like grocery lists. You know, if your spouse knows you're on the way home and calls you and says, can you pick up this and this? Or while you're at, can you get... If we're not listening well, we are not coming home with what they asked for.
Are you calling me out for this?
No.
Because yesterday you were at the house. And Don and I were going to get something, and Karen and you were sitting on the couch like, hey, pick us up. And she started to list several things. And I said, just text me. I don't know if you remember. I just went ahead and walked out the door and I said, just text me whatever it is you need. Like,
But that works.
It does. Yeah. But
sometimes you need it in writing.
Yeah. I read this week that research shows that you hear between 20,000 and 30,000 words a day in a 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of words.
Isn't that a lot?
That's a lot of words to remember.
And depending on who you're married to.
You could hear a whole lot more,
right? Yeah.
Well, I think it's also important for us to learn to listen well because, and we've alluded to this with the phones already and feeling like you're not being valued or paid attention to. But if someone is exhibiting good listening and they're listening well, that speaker feels valued.
Yeah.
Their words are important. They're of some value to you.
That's true. Like if I'm not on my phone when you're talking to me, you feel like that I care about your conversations, right. I care about you, I care about what you have to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I think that's just inherent in all of us. We want to be heard. We want to feel valued.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one easy way we can do it for others.
Yeah. Yeah. We all want to be heard. So then I know you had some practical things you wrote down on how we can be better listeners. So let's dive into those.
Well, a lot of this goes back to my years in the classroom, teaching those fifth and sixth graders that did not know how to listen well.
Yeah.
We kind of just went back to the basics and started with during speech time when someone got up to do a book report or a speech of some sort. We started by addressing the whole audience or the classroom of listeners, like this is how we be a good listener. And so, you know, the first one is you listen with your ears and your eyes. So give attention.
Mm-hmm.
Put that phone down.
Yeah.
Look them in the eye. Square off. Don't be, you know, eyes wandering all over the place.
Yeah.
Let them know you're in tune and you're giving attention.
Yeah. You know what helped me with that on listen and your ears and your eyes is that listen and silent are spelled with the same letters.
I've heard that.
I heard that one time years ago, and I've always thought that's important when I'm listening to stay silent and actually listen and not, you know, I'm talking in my mind like how I want to respond, but actually just be silent and listen to what someone's saying. So, yeah.
Yeah, it made a difference in that classroom, so I know it does, you know, one-on-one. But when we would remind the kids, then that speaker is standing in the front of the room and they've got a classroom of peers all facing them with their eyes on them. They're not looking out the window or playing with the pencil shavings in their desk. And
Well, I know you do public speaking, and I do as well quite a bit. And so isn't it distracting, like, when you're up there and you're talking and you look over and someone's talking to someone else, or yes, they're down on their phone, or something else is going on?
And again, the phone is the worst. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, you hone in on it, and it's like they either don't want to be here or what I'm saying is really boring.
Yep. And it may be something altogether different and a reason why they're doing it. But when you're on stage, like, it can be distracting, even when you have hundreds of people there and there's just two people doing that.
And you see two right there. Yeah.
All of a sudden, yeah. So imagine when you're one-on-one with someone.
Yes. It makes a big difference. Right along with the, you know, listen with your ears and eyes is the whole idea of the body language. Not just have your eyes on them, but still your body and turn your body toward them. Let them know through the body language that you're listening.
Yeah. Have you ever met someone that you know exactly what they're thinking by how they react?
Yes.
Right. So the body language can get you in trouble too, though. Like, at least, like, I've had people say about me sometimes, like, I know you're judging me by the way your face looks when I'm talking.
And you don't even realize you're doing anything.
I don't realize I'm doing it. Was I? Probably. But I need to control that body language.
Yeah. So. These are not, you know, it sounds like kindergarten stuff.
It does.
Going back to the thing, like, listen with your ears and eyes. Yep. Watch your body language. But but this is hard stuff. It's why listening is such a difficult thing.
It is. You know, and the body language. So if you go out to eat, you know, every restaurant seems like has TVs now.
Yes.
And I don't know. I'm not even a huge sports fan. But if there's a football game on a TV or a UFC fight's on a TV, my spouse is sitting across from me and she's talking. It's important and I care. But all of a sudden, Conor McGregor's up there and he's a UFC fighter.
I don't know a whole lot.
All of a sudden, my eyes are up there watching that.
I've noticed that too. You can't go in anywhere. I mean, it used to be like the sports bars.
Yeah.
And those kind of places. But we were at a Qdoba last Sunday and there was a TV in every booth.
Really?
Every booth. They didn't even have to look across the restaurant or up on the ceiling. And yeah, that's another reason we're having trouble with our listening skills. But I'm like you. I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But when that thing's on in the restaurant, my eyes go there.
They do.
And if your eyes are on the TV, there's no conversation going on.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or if there is, it's one way. You're not really listening. Right? So.
Yeah. I know Kim and Nate, other son-in-law.
Yeah. Your second daughter. Favorite son-in-law.
Yes. They had
Did
a thing.
Did you say yes to them?
No, I was just.
Man, I thought it'd take longer than only a few episodes.
I was not yesing that part.
Okay.
They had a thing going on with their kids for a while because they didn't want them zoning into the TVs at the restaurants and not having conversation. So if you looked at the TV, you had to put 50 cents or whatever it is in the coin jar at home when you got home.
I'd go broke.
Yeah, I would too, because my eyes just go there.
Yep. So appropriate body language. What's another practical?
Focus on understanding. And I think we've alluded to this a little bit. A lot of times we're not hearing what's being said because we're trying to formulate what our response is going to be. Or we don't care. And we've just kind of tuned out. And I think we need to teach ourselves to listen to the words that are being said, but also listen for what's not being said. Sometimes you can get a lot, as you said before, just from their facial features. Or their body language, in addition to what they're saying.
Yeah, focus on understanding, which kind of goes into the next thing you wrote down.
Learning to rephrase is a good way to help yourself focus on the understanding.
Yeah.
So once your spouse, your child, your grandchild has said something to you, you can rephrase it to them to make sure you understood it. Like, did I hear you right? Or what I hear you saying is, and then restate it in your own words. And that tells you if you got the understanding of what they were saying.
Yeah, this shaped me a lot in learning to rephrase. So when I first joined the military, one of the things I did when I first became a chaplain is I taught marriage retreats. And so, I mean, that's all I did for about 2 years.
I remember you doing that,
I mean, it's not what I signed up for doing in the Army, but I ended up doing, it was almost like, it was something crazy, like 40-some marriage retreats over about 18 months.
Wow.
And so some of the material we used in that had something called the floor technique in it. And it always changed marriages. Like that weekend, we would spend a lot just working through practical things. But we had this exercise where we gave them what we called a floor. It's like a little square box type thing. And so you'd have to learn to rephrase what your spouse is telling you. So we'd tell them to pick something that doesn't really matter. Like, tell us about your favorite animal as a kid or anything. And so whoever had the floor is the one that could talk. So you would hold the floor and you'd tell your spouse about your favorite animal as a kid. And then you would take that floor and you'd give it to your spouse. And your spouse's only job was to rephrase what you had just said. So you would tell the story, they would take it, and then they would say it back in their own words. And then they would give the floor back to you, and you would let them know that, yeah, you got it right, or no, you really missed it, that you didn't hear what I was saying. It was amazing.
That's eye-opening, isn't it?
How many times that they couldn't understand, right? It's like, so no wonder you're having trouble, like, talking about bills, and that's causing a fight in your relationship because you're not really hearing each other or you want to respond. And so it's difficult when you have that to not want to, like, come up with a response or something, but just to rephrase. And so the entire weekend we would kind of take them through that technique to eventually when they got home to start using that on really everything.
I've heard it. I like that floor thing. There's so many different analogies. Someone presented one. It's like the drive-through order at McDonald's. And it's the same kind of thing. You're ordering. They're rephrasing when they repeat your order back to you kind of thing. And it is amazing how difficult it is on a McDonald's order or your favorite animal as a kid. And when you think about the things that couples really care about and are passionate about and affect their marriage, it's really hard.
Yeah. Or even like, so a lot of times, like, what you're fighting about isn't even what you should be fighting about, right? You don't even understand each other. So it's like, hey, we're fighting about this, but the real issue is something else that she thinks.
It was like way back, deep-seated in there.
Yeah.
And that's why the whole listening for understanding, it's for the words that are being spoken, but even more what's lying underneath, what's behind that. Because most of the time it is something totally different.
It is.
That's the problem.
Well, even if you take, so like I mentioned, bills. If you're fighting about, so your water bill comes due or a credit card bill comes due this month and you can't pay it. So you immediately have a fight over that bill, right? And so the real issue is not the bill, but it's something deeper of how you manage your money, which may go even deeper that it's some type of insecurity or something that you have. But if you're not listening and talking to each other and really hearing each other, you're just going to fight about the water bill each month instead of getting to the root of what you really need to talk about.
And then you've got that ongoing fight that's never going to be resolved.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that water bill is going to come every month, right? So. Yeah, so learn to rephrase. What's the next one?
This is a good one, especially for, I wanted to say especially for grandparents, but I think it applies other places too, is to not try to jump right in and fix the problem. And the reason I'm backing up is I think this is a whole male-female thing too. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of women who just want to share how they're feeling about this issue, and they just want their husband to listen.
Yeah.
But he's quick to offer all these solutions for how to fix it. And she didn't really want a solution. She just wanted him to hear it.
Well, the problem is, I don't think you understand, is that I can fix any problem that Karen has if she would just listen to me, right? I mean, so God's gifted me that way. I have a solution.
Well, there you go. But I think, that's, if we could just learn to listen again, to hear what's said and what's underneath and not be so quick to try to offer a solution.
Yeah.
If they ask, if the person talking to us asks for advice, I think that's when we give it. We don't try to give it ahead of time.
Yeah.
And even at that, I think we need to keep our advice short.
Yeah.
Like not give them 3 pages or 6 years worth of stuff to do to fix it.
You know who helped me the most with this is my oldest child when she was probably about 13 or 14, which she's pretty opinionated, talks
that
a lot.
She is.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but she shares a lot with me. We have a great relationship. And so at one point she was sharing about something at school or something and, you know, and everything, you know, at 13, certain things would be a big deal to you that, you know, at the time 35 wouldn't be to me. And she's sharing it. So I just told her how she could fix it. And she looked at me at 13 and goes, Dad, what I really want for you is just to listen to me and not tell me what I need to do or how to fix this.
There you go.
And it wasn't like something wrong she was doing. It's just, you know, some school interactions with students and things. And it finally hit me. It's like, that's really what she wants. And she started crying. She goes, and nothing's really wrong. I just want to cry and talk to you about it.
There you go.
Which is hard.
It is hard, especially if you're the parent or the husband or the grandparent. It's hard not to want to fix.
Yeah.
But I think the best thing we can do is just adopt that policy of, I'm not going to try to fix this or give advice unless I'm specifically asked. Because I think it's in that listening and remaining silent over giving advice that the relationships are built and a safe place is created.
Yeah. I think it's even important for your adult children.
Yes.
Right? So you've been through what maybe we're going through, but there may be times that we just want to tell you about what we're going through, and we don't want you to tell us how to do it. We just need someone to listen.
Right. I mean, we could, if we've been through it, we could tell you what worked for us and how we got through it. But one, you aren't us, and so that same thing may not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But two, you know, you may need to learn on your own. We learn better when we go through things ourselves. And that's hard. That's hard for us as parents sometimes to hold our tongue because we know and we can see. But we have to remember that sometimes the best growth comes through the hard times. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to rob you guys of the growth that you will experience through the hard time, we just need to keep our mouths shut and let you work through it. And if you want advice, you will ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to see kids go through
it is. Tough we all times. Want. Right. That was one of the big things that impacted me, even when my kids were young. As a parent, your prayers tend to be protect my kids, mm-hmm. help them have a good day. We don't want anything hard to happen. And then you have to stop and remember that God sometimes does his greatest growth work mm-hmm. in those hard places. So if our kids never struggle, they're not going to grow.
Yeah.
And it's a hard tension.
It is. And this to be there to listen to them as they go through that rough valley, that season. So, the other one that you wrote down was not to judge.
Yeah. And that's another one that goes with that fixing. It's hard. And again, I think this one, there is a bit of a separation where the not fixing applies to almost every relationship. Mm-hmm. I think parents sometimes when they're listening to their kids have to make judgment calls mm-hmm. and have to put some things in place. Grandparents, on the other hand, I think need to learn to listen to their grandkids without the judging.
Yeah.
If the grandparents have been living a daily walk with Christ, mm-hmm. the grandkids have watched it. The grandkids know where those grandparents stand. So when the grandchild shares some hard thing with grandparents, you know, we really don't need to judge them or preach at them. They know where we stand. What mm-hmm. they're doing is showing that they trust us.
Yeah.
And they want us to hear. They want us to listen. And as grandparents, we need to learn to just listen mm-hmm. and become that safe place. Hopefully, most of our grandchildren have a relationship with a parent that is safe and they can go. I know I marvel at your relationship with your girls. Like, they feel safe mm-hmm. to come and talk to you. But not every child has that.
Yeah.
And so for some, it needs to be, you know, the grandparents can offer that. And while we can't fix it and we don't need to judge it, by listening, we become their safe place. And we can take those things to God in prayer, which is the most powerful thing we can do.
Yeah, the big thing on not judging them is, like, you want to keep that relationship open with them, right? So even if they're going down a path that you disagree with.
Right.
My thing's always been that they'll know by, how you said, how I walk, where I stand on things. Mm-hmm. But I want to keep a relationship with them, especially if I'm a grandparent.
Right.
That I can influence them later on in life where they know that, hey, I love you, that no matter what you've done, I'll always love you.
Right. Right?
Which actually portrays the gospel.
Right. And I think that's the biggest thing, to keep that door open where they feel the love and the acceptance and safe to come and share whatever it is.
Yeah. I wrote down when you said don't judge, I thought, or at least don't let your face show it.
There you go. Right? That's because we do. We look at them and those judgments form, but we need to not vocalize or show them with our face.
Well, some of it's not even stuff that would be like sin, but it may be like when you talk to your adult children and they're letting you know how they're raising the kids, you'd be like, I would not do it that way. Like, I did not raise you that way. I don't think you should do it that way, but I'm just going to listen to you because it's not wrong how you're doing it. It's just a preference thing.
Yeah.
But if you speak into them on too many preference things, let them know how wrong they are, you're going to lose that relationship with them. So
that, it's true. Yeah. You set up that they don't even want to share anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, this has been good. I've learned some things today. Actually, you know, here's the thing when I hear about listening. I don't learn really much new about it. But I'm reminded that this is what I need to
do. But it's a refresher, and we all need refreshers.
Yeah, and it's a constant battle for some people, me being one of them.
Yeah, I think we all suffer.
We do, but hey, it's been a great episode. You let me know that I was your favorite son-in-law, so everything's...
All righty then, you heard exactly what you wanted to hear. There goes to that listening well.
All right.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Vertical Families. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a like, leave a rating, share it with a friend. See you next time.